Reading from 1:8:19. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Maya Javani Kachanam Agyadokshachama Vyayam. Lakshyase Mudha Krisha Natto Natyadaro Yata. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, just exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Greetings from Vrindavan. They were having the Japa retreat out at Govardhan, which also had a day of kirtan, and I have my little place at Govardhan. And we held initiation of two people from the Middle East and one Italian lady. And we did it in the courtyard of my house. And I don't know if you know this lady, Sophia from New York, Russian lady. She was there and she just decorated. It looked like a tropical, kind of like it was like a tropical background. And it was just really, the whole thing was just done so tastefully. And people started taking pictures. And one man who's one of the leaders of their yatra just politely went around and requested him not to take pictures, because if these pictures are ever found, they could be executed. He just said it very frankly. You know, these countries don't take so-called conversion. Of course, it's not conversion. It's not conversion. It's religion. Dharma is not a faith. It's a nature of the soul to love God. And the broadest understanding and the broadest conceptions of thought understand that. And are not sectarian in that regard. Bhakti is not Hindu. You find bhakti in Christianity also. Then I took the group. Today, Radhakun, and I explained how we're going to do it as devotional practice. And devotional practice means concentrated and without interruption over a period of time. Now, that's, we went in there, and the way these people do kirtan, because that's their only deity. Their only deity is the holy name. And no one does kirtan like them. We did kirtan the whole time. And when you do that, it's a realization I have, you know, you're working for something. But when you have kirtan like that, where everyone's participating, you achieve a certain feeling that is, you know, that remains beyond your production of it. You begin to live in this feeling of devotion. Anyway, I'm very thankful that I have the association of these very sincere souls. And at least in this particular country, it's a very high culture. And people know how to relate, they know how to learn. They know how to communicate. And being with them is a super, super sweet mood. Because when there's a proper dealings in culture, it creates such a conduciveness to the exchange of open-hearted dealings that it's really rewarding. Okay, now back to the Bhagavatam, and where the war has ended, and now Krishna is ready to return. And at the beginning, we see the revenge of the son of Arjuna's guru, Ashwatthama, trying to kill the last remaining descendant of the Kuru dynasty, Maharaj Prickett, was in the womb of Uttara. And Krishna protects his devotee. And that is for sure, and that's one realization you'll get in spiritual life. Dayata mam papajante tam sataiva prajamyaham. As one surrenders unto me, I reward them accordingly. And one of the Krishna reciprocates. How many times have I used the phrase, God doesn't have the defect of impersonality? And Krishna reciprocates and he protects his devotee. And protection means he does what is best. So sometimes he gives, sometimes he takes away, sometimes he saves, sometimes we die. But the overall experience of the devotee gives him unflinching faith that whatever is happening is best for him on the platform of the soul. So anyway, we Krishna protects the attempted abortion by Ashwatthama, by throwing the Brihastra weapon, by manifesting within the womb, and protecting Maharaj Prickett, who gets that experience of that connection of God, a sublimity which gives one that connection as one's objective in life, realizing that ultimate happiness is the magnetism or prema or energy between the souls and God that manifests when the soul wants to be in the proper relationship with God, which is his servant. You may be in the proximity of someone, but if you don't want the proper relationship, you won't experience it. I always tell that story. I told it many times that I was coming down the stairs. My father's sitting in his chair. And as I walk by, I say, how you doing, Wally? And, you know, he just said, look, I'm not your friend. I'm your father. And when you accept that, then you have the energy flows of respect, upwards and affection down. It's all dependent on our attitude, not our proximity. So when we have that attitude of devotion, of worship, of respect, of wanting a God, and wanting, therefore, our position in relationship to him as his servant, when that's fully in our heart, that attitude, then that energy flows of the highest sublimity, which is the love between the living entity and God, that energy of prema, prema pramartha mahan, that is the greatest goal. And the greatest fortune is to experience a drop of that, which will give you the realization that this is the objective. This is where you'll find true love. This is, therefore, where you'll find true happiness. And how fortunate to have that experience. Vamanda Brahmate Konya Bhagavan Jeev Guru Krishna Pasadi Pai. Wandering from universe to universe, from species of life, till by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, one gets the Bhakti Lata Beach. And what is it? It's this connection. It's this connection of, with God that enthuses the attitude of wanting God. It's the knowledge that lets you understand that there is God, that, that inspires you to turn to God. And feeling that energy of love, that's the goal of life. That's what we're meant for. We're meant for doing that on the highest platform. And everything that God does in this world is to bring us to that position. So Krishna gave Marge Prickett that experience. Therefore, he became Prickett. He looked for that for the rest of his life. He searched for that for the rest of his life. But anyway, Krishna has now appeared in the Bhagavatam, and we're following him. And as we are following him, we're getting to witness how sweet the relationships are between Krishna and his devotees and how intense those feelings are. And we'll see those feelings in the hearts of the pure devotees will actually witness what is that perfection of life like. And if we're fortunate by hearing it and having the right attitude, it will inspire in our heart that desire that I want to serve. I want to serve and have that experience of connection with God. And in the mature state, a specific connection with God. So we'll see those dealings, and now we're seeing the dealings of Queen Kunti. Who doesn't want Krishna to go, and begins to offer prayers. And prayers are the main way. Prayers, kirtan's also prayers. Where we situate ourselves in a position to feel God's mercy, to feel that love. Today we entered into Radha Kund with these devotees, and first we stop at the Kundeshwara Mahadev. Kundeshwara Mahadev, we stop and we pray to Lord Shiva because he's the presiding deity of the false ego. And what is the false ego? It's that conception that I am the center and therefore the world should move around me. But as long as you have that conception that you're the center, you never see, you can never experience who the center is. So spiritual life means to move out of the center, to overcome that false egoistic conception, to change our attitude, to be attracted to the center, to be attracted to the position of serving the center, to actually see that service and humility are the most beautiful things in the world. It's the greatest wealth. It's the thing we should want more than anything else. So it's nice. One way to position oneself in the right position out of the center is prayer. What does prayer do? Prayer declares the center. And by glorification, it declares one's happiness with that fact. And it declares one's desire to be the servant of the center. So Crane Kunti is going to offer her prayers. And her prayers are also, it's to Krishna personally, but it's expressing Krishna's position. It's announcing Sambandh again. What is our relationship with Krishna? Well, our relationship with Krishna is a servant of God, that Krishna is actually God. And she's revealing that now with her prayers and explaining perception of God is not a question of our sense perception. Our sense perception is limited. Just like, and I make this point many times, you can't even see another person by your sense perception. The core and essence of what a person is their internal self, their attitudes and behavior and their love, etc. So even an ordinary person, you can't understand just by sense perception. What to speak about God? God can only be understood by revelation. Even entering into Vrindavan, his prayers by Narottam Das Thakur that explain, his prayers by Narottam Das Thakur that explain that to understand God, the heart has to be right and the head has to be right. The mind has to be right and the heart has to be right. The mind has to be controlled and the heart has to be loving. If your heart is not loving and your mind is not controlled, you can't perceive God. And you can't actually perceive Vrindavan. I remember my late godbrother, Sahotra Swami, gave an example that if you look at a gray powder, it's not actually gray. It's small granules of black and a small white and black granules. But you see it as gray, and then you have a microscope, and under the microscope you can see actually it's not gray. It's black and white spots. And then you have, so you need an instrument. So the mind is like a lens, but it has to be focused. A purified, if it's distorted by desires or covered by desires, it won't see. And then the heart has to be in the right place. And that means one has to be selfless. Selfless and controlled is how you realize God. And he's saying here, you're looking at Krishna, but actually you're not actually seeing Krishna. You're not actually seeing God. Because he's something beyond. He's only there. God is not to be exploited. He's only there to be served. And he will only manifest to us if we want to serve him. So he's only there in our devotion. God is omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all-pervading. He's here right now, but we can't perceive him. He gives the example that an actor may put on a persona, and the person will not be recognized because he's assumed another identity. The same way Krishna is not visible, someone is not qualified. And what is that qualification? You have to want God. And you have to want your position as God's servant. So let's read the purport. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna affirms that less intelligent persons mistake him to be an ordinary man like us, and thus they deride him. The same is confirmed herein by Queen Kunti. The less intelligent persons are those who rebel against the authority of the Lord because the authority of the Lord is truth, and certain people rebel against truth. But we should follow truth. We should be dictated by truth. But we resist because authority, and I'm talking about authority not in terms of a person, but in terms of a principle, truth. Truth is scary because truth does not conform to our attachments. The truth is very, very, and the authority of truth, people therefore rebel against the authority of the Lord because it restricts us. So for selfish reasons, we may rebel against the authority of the Lord. These such persons are known as asuras. The asuras cannot recognize the Lord's authority. We have an authority problem in the modern age because we don't have a proper culture of respect. I quote that verse often, Acharyamam Vijaniyam Navamanyate Karicha. Krishna says, accept the Acharya as my very self. Never mind, don't envy him in any way. And the tendency is to envy authority. When the Lord appears himself among us as Ram Nisringa, or as in original form as Krishna, he performs many wonderful acts which are humanly impossible. As we shall find in the 10th canto of this great literature, Lord Krishna exhibited humanly impossible activities even from the days of his lying on the lap of his mother. He killed the Putna witch, although she smeared her breast with poison just to kill the Lord. The Lord sucked her breast like a natural baby, and he sucked out her very life also. Similarly, he lifted the Govardhan Hill, just as a boy pricks up a frog's umbrella and stood several days continuously just to give protection to the residents of Vrindavan. Those are some of the superhuman activities of the Lord described in authoritative Vedic literatures like the Puranas, Itihasas, histories, and Upanishads. He has delivered wonderful instructions in the shape of Bhagavad Gita. He has shown marvelous capacity as a hero, as a householder, and as a teacher, and as a renouncer. He is accepted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by such authoritative personalities as Vyas, Devala, Asit, Narada, Madhva, Shankara, Ramanuja, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jiva Goswami, Srila Vishwanath, Chakravarti, Bhakti Siddhanta, and other authorities of the line. He is declared as much in many places of the authoritative scriptures. And yet there's different types of evidence, and one evidence is called agama, or Shabda Brahman, or verbal testimony. So here she's saying that he exists, but he's beyond what we can see. So what evidence is, what does the Shastra say? And what do the sadhus say? So he's quoting so many of the authoritative personalities. This is their conclusion. If you want to know if some scientific truth is verified, then great scholars should be able to question it. He himself is declared as such, as much in many places, the authentic literatures. And yet there's a class of men with demoniac mentality who are always reluctant to accept the Lord as the supreme absolute truth. This is partially due to their poor fund of knowledge and partially due to their stubborn obstinacy, which results from various misdeeds in past and present. Such persons cannot recognize Lord Krishna even when he is present before them. Another difficulty is that those who depend more on their imperfect senses cannot realize him as the Supreme Lord. Such persons are like the modern scientists. They want to know everything by their experimental knowledge, but it is not possible to know the Supreme Lord by imperfect experimental knowledge. He is described as a dokshija, or beyond the range of experimental knowledge. All our senses are imperfect. We claim to observe everything and anything, but we must admit that we can observe things under certain material conditions only, which are also beyond our control. The Lord is beyond the observation of sense perception. Queen Kunti accepts this deficiency of the conditioned souls, especially of the women class, who are less intelligent. For less intelligent men, there must be such things as temple, mosques, or churches, so that they may begin to recognize the authority of the Lord and hear about him from authorities in such holy places. For less intelligent men, this beginning of spiritual life is essential, and only foolish men decry the establishment of such places of worship, which are required to raise the standard of spiritual attributes for the mass of people. for less intelligent persons, bowing down before the deity, before the authority of the Lord, as generally done in the temples, mosques, or churches, is as beneficial as it is for the devotional service, devotional devotees, to meditate upon him by active service. I'm going to stop now. Really, it's an incredible day, up since 2 in the morning and just going all day. But I can answer probably a few questions, maybe. Anybody have any questions? Can someone say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Gail. Just saying hello. Thank you for
Hi, Bo,
yeah, it was really nice class. Thank you.
Gail, every time I'm sleeping, I give the best classes. I can't figure it out. Anybody else like to say hello today?
Hi, Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hi, Bo. Are you still coming to India now that Giriraj Swami is not here?
No, our plans have changed, and we'll be meeting him in Dallas instead.
Okay. Hare Bo. Okay. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, I'm going to have to take rest now, but thank you all. Vanchakalpa, to the second, to the second.